because you can handle the truth.
Can have clip five ready. This is Matt Bracken, big Navy SEAL guy, and another, let's just say, one of these guys that came out of the Special Forces. He writes for Gates of Vienna. He travels in the kind of Pam Geller, real anti-jihadi circles. And look, I'm anti-jihadi as well. I don't want my society turning Islamic. At the same time, we've got people that, you know, have control of the spigot to decide who gets in or out. And so I realize that. But bringing in like knucklehead Islam as the management system, like we see happening in Britain and Sweden and elsewhere, and France and Germany, I'm not cool with it. And, you know, just because the puppet master brings the rancid puppet in front of your face, and the puppet starts swinging, you got to defend yourself and smash the puppet, even though you know that there's strings that puppet master is up there on another level. At the same time, you're going to have, when the puppet starts swinging, you got to defend yourself and fight. And so that's the best way I can kind of explain the Islamic kind of, you know, the buffoon squads of Islam and the management system that these guys, you know, the dregs that they throw at us in the Western world to try to basically collapse us into chaos and anarchy. And so this is the circles Bracken comes out of. But he's a very smart guy, and he basically predicted this a day or two before Vegas. He predicted that they were going to set up a right winger to shoot up some sort of a left winger event. Okay, so the thing got flip flopped. Now, like I said, what if the real operation was to shoot up the Chance the Rapper, kind of the pop culture place instead of the country place? Maybe this plan B, this country hit, is just the pump primer. And what we're going to see next is something that is going to be real crazy, and it's going to be what Matt Bracken thought, which is going to be they're going to set up a right-wing white militia patriot type, or even like somebody out of the alt-right or, you know, those sort of circles to shoot up a bunch of blacks or a woman's march or some weird crap like that. So we have to keep that in mind. Was this a pump primer, a plan B to said, okay, well, let's just do this one real quick. And then our real big go for the gusto moment is still right in front of us. So we got to keep that in mind. Let's do clip five.
It's not confirmed his father, Patrick Benjamin Paddock, was a convicted bank robber who escaped federal prison, tried to run over FBI agents with his car, and then he basically, the son is like a cop hater, and that's how he got into Antifa and got in with the Islamists. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's certainly plausible. If the guy in the videos at the anti-Trump rally wearing the NASA shirt, the NASA shirt kind of dovetails with living previously in Melbourne, Florida. You know, visiting Cape Canaveral is one of the things you do in Melbourne. It's like the local, one of the big local tourist spots and, you know, employers, obviously. But
well, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down to brass tacks, Brack, and I'll let you give your analysis. You've been predicting just this. Just last night, hours before it happened, you said they're going to shoot into a stadium or something like this. But you thought it'd be against the leftist to get them all being the victims. Instead, it's a bunch of right-wing white folks predominantly at a country music concert.
Right. I think the shooter is probably, if he is a left-winger, he's driven predominantly by rage and hate. So he hates these, you know, deplorable pro-Trump, you know, white Christian patriotic types. To him, they are the devil. So firing straight at them would be a way to instigate and trigger a civil war in the hopes that conservative right-wingers will retaliate in kind against, say, Antifa or Black Lives Matter. This is sort of the Steve Scalise shooting on steroids. This is somebody trying, you know, doing his part to shake the tree, to cause more rotten apples to fall out, you know, attempting to trigger civil war too. That's the goal. And remember, the people that are trying to trigger civil war too don't care who wins civil war too. That's besides the point. If America is embroiled in a civil war, it will be taken out of action on the world stage. It will be a non-player. It will be completely inward focused for the next 5 or 10 years. I call Civil War II Bosnia times Rwanda. You know, that's the type of,
China, effects we're going to. The EU, all the globalist groups are funding it to take this resurgence of America off the stage. They were planning to put Hillary along to finish that so that globalism.
So, I mean, it's an interesting scenario. Bosnia times Rwanda. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Alex Jones, he could be priming the base Americana, you know, for the whole Islamic angle to this whole thing and keep pumping that. Has he got insider information? Was he ready to collapse on this as a false flag? Because how many times have you been calling for Alex Jones to be authentic and honest about false flags in the past, and he just walked right through the narrative? And this time he's wanting to try to challenge it, and it's not even from the right angle, as you and I both know.
Well, you know what? I think this one, Pat, is so big, and like he got kind of burned on Sandy Hook. Let's say, I'm hearing some static on your side. He got kind of burned on Sandy Hook because he went along and said, "Look, it looks hokey to me," and blah blah blah. And so mainstream media tried to rake him over the coals, and I guess he should have just stood his ground and said, "Damn it. I think Sandy Hook was jacked up, and I don't care what you say." Just like, you know, all the other people in alternative media, but somebody in his pecking order over there told him to back off on Bataclan, on Charlie Hebdo, on all these, you know, all the English ones. You know, there's something there that he went with the Islamic angle on so many of these latest false flags. Oh, and San Bernardino, Umpqua, all these damn things, the Virginia reporters, the Charleston. I mean, how many of them we got to go through? He went with the mainstream media narrative. Now this one's so big, and there's so many people that are just like, no way. I think he had to take this kind of middle of the road. And look, a lot of the people, the guests, are saying it was an outright false flag. And so I think he had to.
And I think this thing has hit on such a massive scale that also more people are saying it's a false flag at the very least, regardless of what narrative they're picking up. But I do think that, say, on False Flag Weekly with No Lies Radio, Dr. Anthony Hall, I think he has one point. Calling Jones the mastermind to this because he understands the Americana. Now, I would rather say he's a Judas goat at best, right? And here, in this particular instance, he keeps pumping the Islam narrative. He keeps going that way with it. And it's like he's Judas goading the truther community into, like we've speculated, that this was supposed to bring us all out, speculating on it, because for 3 days they didn't have an official story just to let us all go crazy on each other. And then after that, what have they even really released? Barely anything. So it's all up in the air. The truther community, all the skeptics are, you know, making claims left and right, trying to put some information together. And here's Alex Jones, and he's clearly, a punching bag for the left and everybody else that calls themselves mainstream and rational. And they all point to him and call him crazy. Who knows if Anthony Hall's got a point that he's just Judas goading again?
Well, the thing is, by him saying he had the insiders texting him from the FBI hostage rescue team, and there was Antifa and ISIS materials all over the room, and that sort of thing. So that's where some of these guys that are out there researching, like, wait a minute, is this guy like the front? And he basically said this is Trump's guy running the front part of the alternative media of the narrative here to make it look like, hey, this is left wing kind of Islamic, like I cover a lot, the red, black, and green, the red communists, the Black Lives Matter, black kind of supremacist grievance industry types, and then the green of Islam, all kind of in this kind of melting pot of world communism. But Jones kind of perpetuating that by saying he had insider information of what the room looked like of this, what I consider the patsy, this staged kind of hotel crime scene, by saying that, you know, kind of giving you this kind of almost a cognitive dissonance view of saying, well, it's probably a false flag, but it's full of Antifa and ISIS stuff, and this is, you see, they're involved. So he's telling you
classic of Jones to sit there and probably, as smart as he is and how much information he can rail off with and how much context he can give you in any situation or any conspiracy theory or history lesson, he sometimes lets off a little too much and admits that his family was connected to the CIA or founders of Texas and all of this. And then maybe he's letting off a little too fast at the mouth, talking about he's got insiders to what looks to be a fake event anyway. Does he know more than he's letting on?
Right. So now we're going to listen to David Knight with Dr. Steve Pachinik. I got to get this one in. This one made a lot of, you know, headway around in various circles. Clip 8, Ken, at 3244, I believe. But this is Dr. Steve Pachinik. So David Knight has him on right before Jones was coming on the air. And then Jones later had callers. And remember that once CIA, always CIA thing we just played? Jones had callers later on that day that were like, you know, I listened to Pachinik call in to David Knight's program, and he's like, I think something's going on with Pachinik, because Pachinik said, I don't think it even happened. He's at that point, this was like a day later or maybe 2 days later, he's like, look, I think this might be a full-blown drill hoax scenario. And so him and David Knight kind of got into it, but then some of the other callers were like, I think Pachinik might still be working for CIA. And I was like, dude, of course he does. I mean, if you're that high level in the deep state, you ain't coming out. You might act like, you know, these guys are, a lot of this stuff, it just seems, it's like a, you know, kind of theatrical production. Let's listen to clip 8.
Comments. All right, let me tell you, number one, why I can't get on the internet. The reason is very simple. I'm being hacked. The reason why you're hearing me now is another person's phone call. So this is part of 9/11. They can call it conspiracy, but everything you said, David, is the same thing I said within 24 hours of 9/11. My CIA operatives admitted that they did it. I have the names of the people involved. The indicted Bush, Cheney, Chertoff, Giuliani, the Mossad operatives who blew up the building, and Condi, and as well as Colin Powell. And this is what happened. So what's happening now is a continuation. Sandy Hook, false flag. San Bernardino, false flag. Yesterday in Las Vegas, a complete false flag. It was absolute nonsense. You could hear the verbiage. You could hear the same setup as we had in Sandy Hook. The narrative is so predictable that no one was killed. There was no shooting. And in fact, what happened in the giveaway was this was the greatest killing at all time of America. That's distinctive of Trump. He has to have the most and the best. But yet, sad part is that Trump fell into this system and he was co-opted by the Department of HS, CIA, and FBI. What we need to do in America now is demand the indictment of presidents, indictment of officials. I don't know if it'll happen, but this is enough reason to start a revolution. And I've said it from the day Alex Jones had me on the show. I said 9/11 was a criminal act on behalf of the government. It was continued by Obama, continued by Hillary, continued now, unfortunately, by Trump. I'm very disappointed in him. There was no death, no killings, no shooter. Absolutely nothing. And the reason.
Wait a minute. You're saying there was nobody killed in Las Vegas?
No, nobody. Nothing. It was basically a total false flag. It was a total Sandy Hook phenomenon. The same thing that happened in Sandy Hook. The police were co-opted. The special force, whatever units were there. The FBI was co-opted. This is a classical false flag where nobody was shot. You look at some of the old critics, the actors that have been there. They were there in Sandy Hook, the same people who talked about murder and killing and the deaths. They were upset. So I know Alex was intimidated by Sandy Hook, and he said it really happened. It did not happen. I happen to have known a psychiatrist who claimed Adam Lanza was sick, and he was scared, and Yale was scared. Now Nevada is scared, and what's happening is the government's coming in and creating these episodes as they did 9/11 in order to go to war, sustain a military economy, and sustain an internal repression of our people. And that's not going to happen.
Well, I agree with you that this is going to be used in very sinister ways, and we already see this happening, but I don't understand. I've talked to a lot of people who were there, and we've had people phoning this in. I mean, there's a lot of reports of. This is something that we've had a lot of eyewitnesses saying that people were killed and that they were there on the ground. This was a very large concert that was happening. You saying that all of those people are in on a conspiracy? I don't understand what you're saying that nobody died. I don't believe that nobody died.
Sandy Hook. How many people were killed in Sandy Hook?
Yeah, but that was a much different situation. That was much smaller than this. And we got a lot of people who were simultaneously reporting that and saying, they saw people shot.
22 people were killed in Sandy Hook plus six adults in a few seconds by a autistic kid. Where was the shooter?
Well, I agree about Sandy Hook, about maybe the issues of Sandy Hook, and I think there's a lot of questions about that. That was something that was much easier controlled than this situation where you've got, we've got video of people who have been shot, who are being shot, many, many eyewitness accounts because the number of people that were at that concert. I mean, we had over 20,000 people at that concert. They couldn't possibly be in on a false flag, could they? I don't understand the narrative that nobody was killed.
Well, from my point of view, you got another false flag. And what you have here is very simply a systematic co-optation by the federal government to do what they need to do. Whether you think somebody was killed and nobody was...
Yeah, so like I always say, Pat, with these kind of incidents where there's red flags flying all over the place, the absence or presence of corpses and real dead bodies, to me, and I know these are human beings and I know it's important whether people die or live, but as far as the pecking order of deconstructing an operation, a synthetic terror operation, it's not the most important thing to me.
I would say to that Hillary Clinton completely agrees with you, because not to say what she said, and that it is important that people died, as we have said, but she says, does it matter? Because her ends are the only things that justify her means, and she wants Gaddafi to go. So it doesn't matter who died at the embassy. She wants gun control. So it doesn't matter if anybody died at Vegas.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about when you're deconstructing one of these operations,
absolutely,
to argue whether people got killed or not, that's important. It's highly important because human lives, that's a big deal if people were killed or not. But what I'm saying, when you're looking at as an observer, trying to deconstruct whether it's a synthetic operation or whether it's an organic, lone gunman, Stephen Paddock type operation, the absence or presence of corpses, it's not as high on the, on my, my pecking order here when I'm looking to say, was it a synthetic operation, an American Gladio style operation or not? It's highly important if whether people die or not. But when you're looking at all the other anomalies, you can come to the conclusion that, yes, this was a synthetic terror operation, whether, and you don't have to get into the argument, well, nobody died, or yes, people were shot or not. Look at all the other anomalies, and then that, whether some Russian mafia or some Mossad boys on the fourth floor had a belt-driven 30 cal, and then they set the patsy up on the 32nd floor, or whether it was all blanks, and a FEMA drill, and then nobody died or not, and everybody, was an act. We'll cover this when we come back. Incendiary Radio.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
We are back. Incendiary Radio. Now, Mr. Producer, have clip 13 ready. This is a Daily Sheeple video, but this is about, now you notice how Pechenik, and there's a whole bunch of others. Now, he's under the impression that he didn't think a lot of people were whacked, okay? He can have that. Alex Jones actually said anybody that thinks that way, he would like to punch in the nose. So him and Pechenik right now are having a fallout. But anyway, this is the fallout to the hoaxers, the people that are saying that this is a hoax on Vegas. Now the YouTubers, the Googles, the rest of them, they're using this as a catalyst to censor everybody on Las Vegas false flag exposure. Let's do clip 13.
The YouTube AI has struck again, my friends. That's right. The Wall Street Journal says YouTube tweaks search results as Las Vegas conspiracy theories rise to the top. Amazingly, more and more people are questioning these narratives. And harder, these vassals of the powers that shouldn't be, these social media sites, are trying like hell to control the narrative. Much like the mainstream media used to do with its Walter Cronkites and Tom Brokaws of old, this is exactly what's happening. It's just the next generation of propaganda slant censorship, what we're seeing. Says here YouTube this week surfaced videos peddling misinformation, hateful messages, and conspiracy theories to users tracking major news events, prompting the site to change its search results to promote more authoritative sources. Yeah, it's a very interesting word that they choose. Authoritative sources. I mean, that's freedom right there if I've ever heard it. For example, the fifth result when searching Las Vegas shooting on YouTube last Tuesday yielded a video titled Proof Las Vegas Shooting Was a False Flag Attack, Shooter on Fourth Floor. The video said that there were multiple shooters in Sunday's mass shooting, a claim dismissed by law enforcement. Post by a channel called The End Times News Report. It amassed more than 1.1 million views in about 27 hours. The fourth result, when searching the NFL anthem protest on Wednesday, was a video claiming Anheuser-Busch, InBev, was considering pulling its sponsorship of the National Football League over national anthems protests and urged viewers to push the company to do so. Of course, the claim has been widely debunked days before. So, in response to all this criticism on social media of some search results this week, a person familiar with YouTube said the company is accelerating the rollout of planned changes to its search engine. Now, Wednesday night,
you could stop
the video
there.
Service began promoting.
So now you see what's happening. Full blown. I don't know where they're going to try to stop with this. It's really, I wish everybody would push back, go at Google, go at the FCC, go at the usual suspects. But have we passed the point now to where they don't even give a crap? They're just saying to hell with it. It's open face tyranny, 1984 level crap. Pat, what do you think? You think any amount of pushback is gonna push the Google jigsaw? Now you said Owl Gang back.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, they've been putting out these false stories. It's kind of like how Jones can't control his own platform with CIA dupes coming on and inserting false narratives into his show to discredit him, right? It's the same thing when they control these dialectics. They put in fake stories like the woman screaming, "You're all going to die." I'm not seeing too much proof that even occurred, but everybody started popping it around. So, you know, it was put into the zeitgeist. It was meant to be a hashtag or whatever. So you got these fake news events occurring that they are concocting, that are synthetic, that they are introducing. So that why? At the end of the day, what's the synthesis, right? What's the problem, reaction, solution? The solution is, though, Google, YouTube, and all Twitter and all the social networks, they up their algorithms. They tried to do everything. You're going to have to federalize media because even private companies can't control fake news from alternative fringe tinfoilers like me and you, crazy people talking, even though it's not even our stories that we're circulating.
And what What do you think of Trump's comments about investigating the fake news and everything? That's kind of interesting.
And then he might be in on Project Owl.
All right, we'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Last half hour of the program, we're going to try to do some crunching, but Pat wanted to get into Project Owl for a second, then we'll move on.
Yeah, just we were tying up the whole, people need to understand that, you know, these that the news apparatus is trying to attack any dissent, right? We don't like CNN, we don't like MSM of any kind of mainstream news. We don't trust it anymore. So what are they doing? They're trying to create a straw man and gaslight. They make fake stories, they get them circulating, and then they blame us for why the news is circulating bad information, misinformation. And then they clamp down on us with things like Project Owl. And there's your Bohemian Grove connection again, because these cultist weirdo rich guys that go out to Bohemian Grove, from Jimmy Buffett to Reagan, and you know what Nixon said about it, but yeah. They all get together.
It's the most goddamn faggoty thing I ever seen in my life.
Hey, he's the one who said it, the former president. So you do what you want with that. But they worship an owl, and they do a cremation of care where they sacrifice, you know, a life or a child is what it's supposed to be in a total ritual. I didn't make this up. This is what they do, and they're supposed to be people with money, so they're supposed to know what they're doing. And the owl symbolism is ubiquitous in media. So now you got Google clicked up with Project Owl clamping down on fake news. The next step is what? Federalizing it? The government has to come in and take care of it?
Yeah, quite interesting. I wanted to tie this in, and this is off of Sorcha Falls kind of world over at whatdoesitmean.com, but this ties in with the Russian mob, who's very heavy in Vegas. Russian mob, Jewish mob, interchangeable. Virtually unknown to the American public, Las Vegas is one of the major control centers of a vast international criminal organization known as the Russian Mafia, and who have fled to this desert gambling mecca in mass following Russia's banning of all gambling in 2009. Okay, this is out of Reuters. Gambling closure is Russia bans all gambling and shuts casinos. Joining this mass exodus of Russian mafia criminal operatives to Las Vegas, this report details one of the most feared leaders named Rajden Shulaya. On June 7, 2017, was arrested by the FBI in Vegas, and who has shattered his U.S. nationwide criminal organization with the Shulaya indictment. And this stuff's all out of NPR, justice.gov, and so forth and so on. With the FBI quickly removing Shulaya from Vegas and placing him under the highest security in New York City, with the CIA's long-known ties with international criminal organizations having already been established, this report was not surprised when WikiLeaks Vault 7 stunningly revealed that the CIA was using Russian mafia malware on one of its spyware programs named Grasshopper, okay? And that's out of RT. But that so angered President Trump, he ordered the FBI to take this criminal organization down, and who had previously been protected by the Obama regime for 8 years. And so, look, Trump and, you know, his factions versus Obama and his factions, are they competing mafias? We all can speculate on this stuff later. Having extensive ties in both the U.S. and Israel, this report notes, Rajden Shulaya also and for years controlled the vast gun smuggling ring headed by Stephen Paddock. Now, this is the tie-in with the gun stuff for Paddock, and who has been established as being employed as an arms smuggling pilot. Remember, Paddock having his own planes and so forth in the CIA's Operation Cyclone program to arm and finance the jihadi warriors, Mujahideen, in Afghanistan with flights based from Pakistan during the 1980s. Now, think about the age of Mr. Paddock being 64. Go back to the 1980s. That's about 30 years ago. He would be in his 30s. And so we get this sheep dipping. This guy living this luxurious life of a professional gambler, but having ties to the skunk works at Lockheed Martin, and then being an IRS agent and being a work for the post office. And so they're trying to make this kind of case that this guy's been sheep dipped and moved around under these kind of titles and jobs, you know, as a way, you know, when you're a deep state operative and so forth and so on. And then they're tying this guy, Scott Edmiston, E-D-M-I-S-T-E-N, 43-year-old, believed to be a CIA gun smuggler. It's an interesting, you know, story, and it's worth looking at. And it mentions the 4chan message board. So let's get into that for a second. And I covered it. If you live in Vegas or Henderson, stay inside tomorrow. Don't go anywhere where there are large groups of people. If you see three black vans parked next to each other, immediately leave the area. You're welcome. It's called a high incident project. They want to make the American public think that places with extremely high security aren't safe. They're going to create more regulations. You'll see laws proposed within the next few years to put up more metal detectors and other security devices. Media and politicians will be saying places with lots of police need even more police, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into this. If their plan is successful, the state of Nevada will pass a law in the future making all casinos have mandatory metal detectors and backscatter machines, hence Total Recall. Soon after, a federal law will be passed to put these machines in universities, schools, federal buildings, you name it. OSI Systems and Chertoff are the main producers of these machines. Sometimes around 2020, Chertoff and OSI will merge into a single company. After they merge, the owners will sell off their stock and make billions and blah, blah, blah. And so I have to tie this in as well. They were talking about these massive aviation fuel tanks that were like 1,500 yards away, 1,000 yards away, that the guy or the that were supposedly targets as well. Just wanted to put that up there and kind of put that out there. Any thoughts on that, Pat, before we move on? Oh, Pat is no longer on. What happened to him, Mr. Producer? Do we lose him? All right. So let's see here. Let's get clip six ready, Ken. And then while we're playing the clip, you could try to hook Pat back up. So this is Michael Snyder. Now this is talking about it's coming up, okay? We've got Columbus Day, November 9th, folks. We've got this Antifa November 4th thing coming up, okay? Refuse fascism. They're talking about this massive mobilization of basically your communist apparatchiks November 4th. I think we might have an event before then, okay? Some sort of event like I was saying, they primed the pump with the shooting of this Jason Aldean concert in Vegas. Look for another event that's going to really trigger the left, okay? And then we'll have to keep our eyes on that one. Let's go ahead and hit clip six.
So this movement starting up on November 4th, they say they only have one goal, one demand, and that's the removal of the Trump-Pence regime by any means necessary, and they're openly saying they're willing to use violence to do it. So why aren't these people all in prison for directly threatening the president, directly threatening the Constitution? In fact, the Revolutionary Communist Party has drafted a constitution for a post-American order to replace the U.S. Constitution for a North American socialist
regime. Which is exactly what Larry Grathwald, the Green Beret who infiltrated them at the highest levels of the Weatherman, they were planning this in the 70s. It's the exact same plan.
It absolutely is. And so they're openly saying they want to overthrow the United States government. They want to take down Trump by any means necessary. And so when we, you know, take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, these are the kind of guys we're talking about. These are bad guys.
Stop it there. Okay, so forward to the next part of that clip, Mr. Producer, but we're going to talk for a second, 2909. So, Pat, your thoughts on coming up, what you think we got, you know, planned here for the next couple months out. You see a big event possibly to trigger out the lefties, just like we saw here, like Matt Bracken thought originally, that they're going to set up a white right winger.
Well, I feel like I would have expected maybe that, and I hope you hear me well.
Yeah, you're good.
I would have expected maybe that to happen over the summer with the summer of chaos that we expected, and nothing really happened, right? We just had a bunch of the black versus blue stuff going on.
Well, we had Charlottesville, too, that really triggered a lot of people in the black community, like LeBron James and the kind of the people.
We
like,
had a bit of a Jade Helm with the alt-right in all the protests.
Yeah.
Where there were protests in all these different cities, and it was all the same kind of operation. And then we had a few false flags. I mean, I guess it was a summer of chaos, but I would assume that the festival bombing or something or a shooting would be, you know, more in line with that during the summer. I have no idea what we got coming. I hope this is the biggest thing and it's all over, and now we just got to deal with this. But you never get lucky like that.
And yeah, well, Jones and company are saying this is just the beginning now. It's going to be, like I always have been talking about the last couple of years, cascading sequence of events. And I don't want to see the cascading sequence of events, but unfortunately, I just I've been in this real dark place in the last few days since this happened, and really with a real shuddering and a premonition that we're going to face some really, really insidious things coming down the pipe.
Yeah, you worry about that, at least with the legislation angle and what they're going to try to normalize in the media. I'm worried more about the fake news almost than I am the gun control at this point.
Yeah, this fake news can just weaponize people so quickly. It's just like, my gosh.
Yeah, and then they're going to use it to get the public against the rational people, the sheepdogs, you know. And if Trump really does go all the way with gun control, then that's the storm, is the Red Scare and the snatch and grabs, and Solzhenitsyn starts echoing.
Yes, exactly. Now, this next clip is Laura Loomer, okay, this Jewish girl. Now, she was with the rebel media, I believe. Then she kind of went gateway pundit, and everybody jumped on her when her and Jack Posobiec were interrupting those Shakespeare plays in New York City where they were killing Trump. If you guys remember that a few months back, Laura Loomer was the girl that just got to walk on stage and stop it. And then she's the girl that gets to walk right up into Hillary and Huma, and magically she gets to right on camera with a perfect camera angle, trash Hillary and Huma. So Laura Loomer is some sort of basically Kosher Nostra operative. Alex Jones of the other day hired her on air. So she's now going to be working for InfoWars. But let's listen to her tie the MGM SPLC stuff together. Go ahead and hit that other part.
I have exclusively obtained an internal memo that Jim Moran, the CEO of MGM Resorts, which owns Mandalay, where this attack took place. And if you read it, you can see that he's telling his employees that he will match donations if they donate to groups like CARE, which is a terrorist organization, SPLC, which the FBI cut ties with over their own, inspiration of domestic terrorism, and then the ADL, which of course is very anti-Trump. So he's funneling in millions of dollars worth of company shareholder money to fund these radical Islamic and anti-Trump organizations. And I agree with you, Alex. I think this is a false flag. I don't think that ISIS is just going to claim responsibility for an attack that they didn't have anything to do with. I was on your show about 2 weeks ago, and you and I were discussing how Antifa is now adopting ISIS tactics. And we've seen over the past few months that the left has aligned itself with Islam. We see it through the Women's March. We see it with the way they create their own logos, infusing them with women wearing hijabs, and they cover their face in black attire, just like ISIS, and they wave black
flags. Yeah, the left is merging with radical Islam, and Linda Sarsour, we're being force-fed it.
Right.
Okay, stop it.
We'll stay there. Let's talk.
Now, let's flesh out this dialectic angle here. You got Linda Sarsour, this questionable young lady with the hijab, with all these radical leftists, okay? Then you've got Laura Loomer over here, and there were so many psyops running in about a 30-second clip, and I know you just heard them, but basically she's basically saying CARE's terrorists, which they have connections to some groups in the Middle East, but then she talks about the SPLC and the ADL, and she said, oh, well, they're just very anti-Trump, knowing that they're fronts for Jewish mafia, while she's Jewish, of course. And then she's talking about the left and Antifa and ISIS merging together. Now, I'm seeing all these reports, and I know you two are, Pat, about Antifa actually going to Syria for training, okay, to train in basically warfare tactics, so forth and so on. So now we're actually seeing the Rita Kotz level stuff talking about Antifa, American Antifa organizations going to Syria to train and going to where? Venezuela to train and vice versa. So these two countries that elements of our deep state want to basically go to war with, automatically now Antifa is training in these countries. And so now they're like strange bedfellows. And now you're going to, I just wonder what the fallout's going to be is this whole Antifa thing being set up by feds on the inside of it to be, let's just say, expendable, and then therefore, you know, you're seeing this little chessboard being set up over here of the Antifas, the ISIS, the Venezuelans, and so forth and so on, kind of the left Islam axis that everybody talks about. It's a very interesting, you know, thing to see this kind of straw man to be knocked down, I guess.
Yeah, I would be more inclined to say Antifa is virtually equivalent to the KKK. It's more or less 60% feds circle jerking with a bunch of useful idiots. And and if you've got rumors of the Antifa, these wimps, these cucks, these little punks that you saw outside of your courthouse in St. Louis, when you've got those guys apparently going over to be radicalized by ISIS, I can't even laugh at how silly that is. That's like them inserting those narratives when this all started back in like 08, 09, 2010, that these German citizens were going and being radicalized for what? It wasn't even ISIS yet. It was ISIL. It was Islamic State. And it was just inserting the narrative that, you know, anybody, it's the same as anybody can be a shooter. Anybody can get radicalized. And then I think it's also just supposed to further unify the left with this notion that they're in the fight with Islam. So, you know, keep all the sectors funneling towards it because they're all going to be the first people culled, as you've said so many times. They're going to be the shock troops that are either going to get a bullet in the head from the, you know, the unfortunate race war fallout, or the ISIS and the Muslims and all them are going to pull them into slavery or whatever. You know, they're going to be the first ones to take a hit from either side.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's just a depressing narrative that we get seen built. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people buy into it. And look, there's enough useful idiots in the Islamic sector, just like there is in the urban black communities, to where, look, they're doing massive amounts of violence to good people. And this is what really sucks, is to watch like this toxic inner city vibe date, where it's dangerous for any outsider to go in and try to just go to a store at night. It's just crazy. I want to play this one. We're getting short on time, but this is a kind of an esoteric one. Pat, I still got you?
Yeah, we're good to go.
Okay. I want to play the Zachary Hubbard one. This one's a couple minutes long, but this one has to do with gematria, okay, and letters and numbers. A1, B2, C3, D4, E5, so forth and so on. Z26, X24, R18, all these sort of things. You know, that's basic gematria. Now let's listen to this. This one's just kind of worth listening to. Let's do clip 16. We got it, Ken.
Core. One more note about Stephen Paddock's number 13 tattoo on his neck. Again, when you write out 13, it sums to 99. This happened the weekend of Yom Kippur, Jewish Day of Atonement for your sins. Yom Kippur 99, Mandalay Bay 99, which opened March 2nd, 1999. Of course, it's in Sin City, Las Vegas, Sin City 99. And again, this came 41 days after the total solar eclipse. 41's the 13th prime. Remember, this total solar eclipse was the first of its kind in 99 years for the United States of America. 99, the nation that began with 13 colonies, that has 13 stripes on the flag, that once upon a time had 13 stars. Learn the code. Use your eyes to see what they're putting before you in the media. It becomes undeniable what's really going on in this world with false flags and them being rituals by a numerical code. And again, the code is Kabbalah, the belief that God created the world by merging the letter with the number, which is the knowledge of elites since the time of the Renaissance, before the United States of America was established by the numbers. Till next time.
Stop it there. Now, quick thoughts on that, but I got a nice little something to throw at you as well. Go ahead, Pat.
No. I'd rather just hear what you've got to say.
All right. Mandalay, okay. Actually, Mandalay, Burma, okay, which is called Myanmar now. There's all kinds of stories about Myanmar and then the Buddhists there dealing with Muslims and actually Christians as well, doing some things to the Christians. And so, but listen to this. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem called Mandalay, 1890. Which is the origin of the phrase "On the Road to Mandalay." 1907, the poem was set to music by Ole Sparks as "On the Road to Mandalay." Speaks' version was widely recorded. Among the best known renditions is one by Frank Sinatra on "Come Fly with Me." The large hotel, casino, convention center, Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, is named for the city, despite the fact that its city is 500 kilometers from the nearest bay, perhaps in reference to the line in Kipling's poem. And the dawn comes up like thunder out of China across the bay. George Orwell was stationed at Mandalay for a time while working for the Indian Imperial Police in Burma. And his first novel, Burmese Days, was based on his experiences in Burma. He also wrote a number of short nonfiction essays and short stories about Burma, such as A Hanging, 1931, Shooting an Elephant, 1936. John Masters wrote a book about those wartime experiences in Burma, called The Road Past Mandalay. So I just found it fascinating that George Orwell, Kipling, and Sinatra all have this kind of connection to this word, the Mandalay. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the history of Southeast Asia is one of the most fascinating, and you would have to do so many shows just to cover the oligarchs, as James Corbett has put it, and their history and legacy, much less the Dutch East India, Southeast India companies, British East India companies. I mean, you got a lot going on down in that area. And Kipling, I'm one of my favorite authors. You couldn't get away with reading anything Mark Twain writes today. Kipling makes Mark Twain look like Santa Claus. I mean, the rhetoric was as eloquent as you'll ever find. These guys who traveled that part of the world, I don't know what kind of guys they were, but they're really the Renaissance of the Enlightenment, and they're some of the best minds that we've ever had. Orwell being one of them for sure.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's talk Catalonia and Kurdistan for a second, and the tie-in with Kurdistan and this Greater Israel project, and the possibility of this false flag tying in with that. Antifa. They're trying to plant the Antifa literature in this guy's room. Blah blah blah. The Patsy's room. This axis between ISIS, Antifa, which we just covered, and this YPG faction of the Kurds, this communist faction of the Kurds. And so the Israelis are pushing hard for a Kurdistan. A lot of the other Islamic countries in the Middle East don't want to see it. And we're going to go to Catalonia for a second and talk about Spain not wanting to give up Catalonia, the EU project being in some danger here. But these two referendums, the Kurdistan, they just had a referendum a little bit ago, and then now the Catalonia referendum. Very interesting, these two things.
Well, don't you wonder if the Catalonia referendum, what that could mean on so many levels? So Brexit just happened, so the fractionalizing, the balkanization of Europe might be kicking off officially, and then they let Scotland stay, so there's manipulation there. But if Catalonia gets out, does that further the balkanization of Europe?
Yeah. All right, Pat, I want to thank you, man. We had a lot of technical difficulties tonight. Thought it was a good show, folks. Hope you got something out of it. Keep listening. Support RBN. Ken, great job. You did an excellent job dealing with all the craziness. And appreciate you guys being out there for listening. Thanks to Sean in Australia and Hoopy. See you guys later. Will you still
Radio1.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.